Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Rachel, exclusively on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. Today is Thursday, September 28th. I'm back. Ren is back.
Hi, Sam.
Hi, Ren.
Excited to be here.
Yes, for those of you who have not been with us all week, Rachel is out on vacation in Vermont. Probably smoking out the whole state there with her weed.
I think Rachel's staying in Vermont.
I don't know. The weed situation is probably not as good as it is here, you know.
Yeah.
And she needs to think about these things.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
She probably took a pen with her or something. But,
oh, yeah.
As soon as it expires or runs out, she's back to L.A.
Yeah, she was already posting pictures with sweaters, smoking and stuff.
Wow.
So she's already at it. Yeah.
With sweaters?
Yeah.
I guess it's fall in Vermont.
Yeah. Well, it's starting to be fall here, but we don't really feel it.
Oh, I always need a sweatshirt. Like, it doesn't matter what month it is. I'm like the weirdo in 90 degree weather with the sweatshirt
on. Are you serious?
Oh, yeah. I have to put a sweatshirt to go in the grocery store.
Wow. Why is that?
I don't know. I'm just always cold.
Really?
Girls are always cold and always hungry.
Yeah, it depends who it is. I know women that are always hot.
Well, if you're a man and you're trying to catch yourself a single lady, just stand on the street with a sweater and some food. You'll get one.
There's the suki to pick it up, women. There you go. Have a sweater and stand on the corner. Cool. In a few minutes, we're going to be joined by our guest. We're going to have a very interesting conversation. I presume, which we already do. We always do. We always have great conversations here.
Oh, yeah.
And, a couple things. I told you I got this song stuck in my mind, and it keeps playing, but I'm not going to play it for you guys because you may not like it. But I always discover new songs, and when I do, I play it to death. I can't, until I can't stand it anymore, you know?
Until you can't play it anymore.
I think I do that with a lot of new things, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, use the shit out of it until you can't anymore, and you're like bored with it, you know? It's like...
Oh, yeah. Well, I was in a meeting last week, and the person's phone kept ringing, and they had a ringback tone or a ringtone, whatever. And it was that song, that Mariah Carey song, "My Soul Obsessed With Me, Boy, I'm Gonna Know."
Really?
So I can't stop singing it. I mean, that meeting was early last week, and
it's still in my head. Whoa.
Still can't stop singing that song. Like, wake up to Mariah Carey, go to bed to it.
Wow.
I just want it to stop.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
So what's your song? It's a country song, right?
It's not a country song, really. Oh. It sounds like it, but it's not. It sounds like it because there's a mandolin in it, and you could hear that.
Oh, yeah.
But, no, I already closed it. It doesn't matter. I did want to ask is, tell people a little bit about you. You're a comedian, a comic. What
yes.
else do you do?
I'm an actress.
Okay. Where can we see you doing comedy?
Normally at the Comedy Store, Flappers in Burbank.
Okay.
Just all around.
So the usual suspects. Right.
Pretty much.
Do you ever go
to the... I'm actually going to be in San Diego at the La Jolla Comedy Store on October 26th.
Oh, well, we'll try to remember that.
Yeah, it's a Wednesday. I hope that's the right day.
Well, you'll have to remind us, Ren.
I will remind. Yeah, I'll remind you. It's like a month away.
Where can people follow you if they want to?
You can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Ren Woods, WRENNWOODS, just my first and last name. I just got on Twitter recently. I've been tweeting a lot.
Really?
Yeah, I got a lot of things to say. I mean, I think it's good, but you might not.
Yeah. No, I mean, you know, I've tried Twitter, but I don't know.
Sometimes I get a headache because I scroll. You know, you scroll and you're constantly like addicted like to what people are saying.
Right.
And then I've looked at it for so long. I just, you know, it's a good way to waste time if you don't feel like working.
It is, but I find it also hard to carry conversation on Twitter because
there's no conversation. It's just basically
I just
tweet my thoughts whenever I think of something random or weird or funny.
Exactly.
I just tweet it.
Yeah, you want conversation, you go on Facebook.
I don't have very many followers yet though, so please do follow me on Twitter.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter. The hell with all those followers. You know, people use this as social currency. You know what's interesting, especially the young generation like you guys? I have people coming in here, and every time they hear like a name or something. Okay, like that. Like they'll see a host in the show. Oh, what's the name? Let me look up their social media and to see if they have more or less followers.
That's crazy. That's how people value themselves. You know, I do. I go on auditions sometimes, and they ask for the number of followers that you have.
Really?
And I think that's ridiculous.
That is ridiculous, you know?
But
and especially when I say that most of those followers, they probably don't care about you. They probably don't, you know.
It's a fictitious world. It's people that they've lost touch with reality.
Right.
It's not a game, real.
You know. And that's why I don't
What about the people that you're actually friends with? You know, be present.
Exactly. You know, and the thing is this, look, if people like get on Twitter or on Facebook Instagram, they'll follow like thousands of people. And you're one of them. Do you really think they care about what you post?
Definitely not.
Right. You know, especially if they have a thousand.
That's a total misconception with millennials is no one really gives a shit about what you have
exactly,
to say.
Exactly. Or your followers.
No.
You know?
They just want to see cool shit. And
right. That's why I think it's ridiculous to screen a candidate based on how many people follow them, you know?
Definitely, because they could be a terrible person.
That too. And besides, I've seen how these are meaningless, you know. Sometimes we'll get someone on the show with like a few hundred thousand.
Right.
I don't see any jump in listenership because people don't care.
Nope.
People don't care. Nope. And that's what you people have to understand. So focus more on your real friends. And I posted once a meme that says, treat your followers with a little more respect than just a number, you know?
Yeah.
And or say thank you to them. Rather than treat him like a number, you know?
Yeah.
And that's all it is. People don't care. Who's following me? I don't care. most of the people, you don't know them anyway.
Right.
So there's a few influencers out there. I won't lie, but for the most part, I think it's a waste of time.
People can be mean on social media too, you know?
Yeah, I know.
Directly.
Yeah.
Not nice. They hide behind their screens.
They really do, you know, and they become trolls.
Yeah. Online
and
trolls.
They get
no
into
good.
Trouble. Yeah.
Don't be a troll.
Don't be a troll.
That's my advice for today. if you can't do anything else, just don't be a troll.
Yeah. So I don't know if you heard this, but Megyn Kelly had Jane Fonda and Robert Redford on her show. And
on the Today Show?
Yeah, the Today Show.
Big fan of the Today Show.
Really?
Big fan. I watch it every day.
Really?
Yeah. Well,
okay.
I mean,
well, did you hear
if
this
I'm taking my
Megan?
Time on the way, you know, before I go to work in the morning, if
right.
I have enough time.
So did you see the interview with
No, I missed it. I know I missed it.
So look what Megyn tells us. She says, you admit you've had work done, which I think is to your credit. I don't know why.
Okay.
But you look amazing. I read that you said you're not proud to say you've had work done. Why not? And Jane Fonda just pauses and looks at her. Like, you know, because...
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's like...
But her publicist is pissed.
Yeah, you know, but she says rather than... Okay, so... Yeah, I don't know. But the thing is that they felt like it was an awkward moment, you know? And it's like, I don't know. You don't tell people things like that, do you? Do you discuss, like, plastic surgery with...
Well, I've never had any plastic surgery,
right.
So I don't... But
right.
if I got it,
no, but if,
I would
if
be like,
someone,
yeah, I'd own it. I feel like if you get it, you just got to
right,
own it.
You know, but if you saw someone for the first time, though, would you ask them?
Oh, no.
Have you had work done?
No,
that's what
really
I'm
insulting.
That's what she said.
That's really insulting.
And on public, on national TV, too, you know. So.
No, I think that's really rude to ask someone. Like, you know, I know a few people that look a little like a wax figure. And I don't go up to them and say, oh, my God, like, it's an awesome nose job. Like, what? No, I do have another friend that has had a lot of work done, and she just totally owns it.
Wow.
She's like, well, okay, you know, I'm... Yeah, she's like, yeah, I bought this nose job. Like, she's like super proud of it.
Yeah.
She's like, yeah, like get my Botox here and there and like whatever.
I know.
And I think that's awesome. I think if you get stuff, you should own it.
Yeah. No, that's true. I mean, you know, why hide it and stuff?
I agree.
Yeah. All right, folks. Well, we're going to bring in our guest right now, who's sitting here patiently, but rather impatiently. She wants to be part of the conversation. I can
She does.
I can see that. And usually our guests are like that, but we make them wait for about 10 minutes to tease them.
I've been in that position. It's right. Like, you know, when you like to talk a lot and you're confined over there.
Right. You're like, will you guys
so
let me talk already? You know?
You guys can't see her, but she is itching to talk.
I know, and she will. She's going to talk a hell of a lot, but I just want to make the guests salivate before they talk. So
yeah.
There you go. We're joined by Ellie Laprete. Welcome to the show, Ellie.
Thank you.
Okay.
You guys, I mean, you know I'm a radio show host for like 8 years.
Are you really?
Oh, yes. And I do the same thing that you guys do.
Really?
So I do an intro. I get like my I'm an attention whore. So I get that out of the way first.
Aren't
in my
we all?
Intro. And I make my guests salivate. And it's weird being on the other side, like sitting there
right?
going, I have so much to say about everything, like social media, about like, you know,
well, we'll talk about that too,
so
of course.
Yeah,
we got a lot of time. We'll talk about you, about your books, about everything that you do, and we can go to social media too if you want to talk about that.
Sure,
well.
Whatever you want to know. I'm an open book,
of
like
course.
Literally.
Yeah. So
I think we both are. We all are here.
Right. So, Ellie, you've written at least one book that I know of.
This is it. This is my first.
This is your first book.
Yep.
Okay. Because it says book series on your thing. So maybe you're planning to...
The publisher wants me to do more. I didn't even want to write the first one.
Really?
I'm so glad I did. I love it. I mean, it changed my mind. It completely shaped me. But I put up a fight. No, I don't want to write a book. Why do I need a book? I have a radio show.
It's funny because like, many people just would die to write a book.
Yeah. They would.
And all that. But we'll get to that too. Are you like a resident of LA? Do you live here?
I live in Valencia.
Right.
I live in the suburbs
LA,
with my family. Yeah.
LA area.
Yeah.
Is this where you grew up?
No, I grew up in Phoenix.
Oh,
Arizona.
In Phoenix.
Yeah.
Wow. Phoenix is hot.
A desert girl.
It's like it is here. I'm just better prepared than most people.
You know what I love about Phoenix is they have in the restaurants, they have all those misters.
Yeah.
Like, in every restaurant. And you think it would be weird, you know, getting misted on, but it's so refreshing.
Phoenix is totally prepared for hot weather. So it's like it's freezing in every building. So you actually have to go outside to warm up. And,
yeah, right.
You know, they have misters everywhere. And like everybody's super duper prepared. But like here we have a heat wave and there's people that don't have air conditioning, and I'm like, why don't you have air conditioning?
Right.
I don't have air conditioning, and I don't.
Because in the older buildings, like in the city, it never gets really hot or near the beach, so they just never build.
I really
them.
Don't need it.
Yeah,
again,
that's good for you.
I wear sweatshirts in grocery stores.
Yeah, right. But you move here in the summer in the valley here; it's very hot.
Yeah,
very hot. But so you grew up in Phoenix. Do you have any siblings?
I do. I have an adopted brother. He's like 7 years younger than me, and he lives. Oh, cool. I don't even know where. Like North Carolina. We're not really, you know.
Yeah.
We don't talk too much.
Were you close growing up at all?
We were actually very close growing up. Then you just
then
got in a lot of trouble.
Apart, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. I have that with my brothers too.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is, you know, but. You know, you grow up in the same family, but you know what I think it is that family you don't get to choose, right? So when you don't have to be with them, you're not with them, you know. It's like,
and you know, like
know.
As a mom, you know, I think all the time, like I have two boys and they're frenemies, like the best of frenemies, and you know, they beat each other up, and I'm supposed to just sit there and like allow it because apparently this is what boys do. I never would have expected that, but I keep like all I care about is that they stay best friends. That means so much to me.
As
know?
A I'm from one of four kids, and I think my mom could say the same. She really wants us to be all friends, and we are. We're close.
Yeah.
I come from a close family,
and it's cool, you know. And I mean, I think if the parents really emphasize that, then it's gonna happen, you know.
Definitely.
But sometimes you're just too different, you know. I mean, I have a brother who lives away, and we've never really been close, you know. So it's kind of hard, but...
Oh, yeah. With four kids, we all have different personalities.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Well, I'm really close with my parents. I love my parents. And they're like... My mom and dad are like the couple that me and my husband hang out with.
Like, really?
That's amazing.
It's like weird. Like, but I mean, like, you know, they...
Very cool.
They get drunk with us. And like, they're really cool people. But no, my brother, I mean, he was always in trouble. He was in jail and like all that kind of thing.
Wow.
So that's why I kind of distanced myself. He's kind of a dangerous character.
Oh, okay.
So we've all
sort of stay on the safe side with us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very cool. And so what was your childhood like there? Did you have easy childhood?
It's totally easy. Really? Like, I, yes. In fact, there's something in the book that in the beginning I'm like, do I even have a right to write a book? Like, I've had no pain and anguish. And that's not true.
How is that possible?
We all have pain and anguish, but I thought, my gosh, I'm so privileged. Like, I'm such a privileged little white girl. You know, I really
there's
am.
There's nothing wrong with that.
I know there's not. Like, I'm not, I don't feel bad about that. Like, I never want to give that away.
No,
I
mean, there's definitely nothing wrong with that.
But yeah, I didn't, at first when I started writing, you know, when the publisher was asking me to write my story, I was like, my story's just like not, I love stories that are like, you know, rock bottom to rock star.
Right.
And I was like, but
and yours is mild.
I was given every advantage. I really was. I mean, I got to admit that, you know, yeah, I came from a great family who, like, you know, gave me a college education and gave me lessons, like piano lessons and voice lessons. And like, I was in plays and, you know,
I just, can totally relate to you. I come from a very similar background and I used to be, you know, I'm a very hard worker and sometimes I would struggle with, you know, people think that I've, you know, I have this advantage because I'm privileged. No, that's not true. And you shouldn't be ashamed of your background and the way that you were brought up.
Not at all.
Yeah, so you should be thankful and really, you know,
I just didn't think it would be that interesting to put in a book. Yeah. But it turns out
there's other interesting things about yourself, I'm sure.
Oh, I have. Yeah. I didn't even know it until I wrote
the
book.
You seem like a very interesting person.
Like, not even until I wrote the book did I go, oh, I do have stuff to say. Like, I've got interesting shit to talk about.
Yeah.
You know?
That's the thing. Everybody's got a story or two. You know, that's what I realized doing this show is that everybody, doesn't matter, you can pull a person off the street, they have a story, you know, that is captivating. And everybody goes through better times, hard times, but, you know, that's just a journey, you know. Absolutely. We're not all born privileged and we're not all born poor, you know, somewhere in between.
You just have to do your best in this life.
Yeah, you do, you know, and we'll talk about that because I know you, that's what you coach people about and that's what you teach and stuff, how to really live and everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, we read here that you were a cheerleader. Was that in high school or in college?
I was a cheerleader in high school. This is not a book about cheerleading.
Right.
I mean, really the book, in fact, the original book, they had me like in a cheer uniform that had on it.
Oh my God.
And I went, you know, it looks like a book on cheerleading. This is not a book about cheerleading. It's that so many people kept saying that, you know, when they called into my radio show, then I would give them tough love, but, you know, that they all felt like that I was their personal cheerleader.
Oh.
And so this book was sort of about, about how to become your own cheerleader when, you know, everyone loves positive reinforcement, but not everyone gets it. I mean, like, you can't really rely on other people all the time to tell you, like, I'm proud of you or whatever. So you have to learn to fill yourself up, and that's really kind of what
that's true, right? Like,
that's great.
Like, to parent yourself, you know, to be your own biggest fan, I think, you know, it's important. It's funny how when we grew up, they say, you know, put others first and all that stuff, and that's how you're a good person and all that, but it doesn't work that way, you know.
It's shifting.
And especially in today's world, people are depressed and everything.
And we're being told now, and I talk a lot about this, and I think it's almost like culture shock when people read it at first, but I give you permission to be super duper selfish. Like,
really?
Yeah, give to yourself, like, all the energy and all, you know, that you're spending on other people, and it's exhausting you, like, stop. Like, it doesn't fill you up. If you don't feel good giving to other people,
good advice.
Stop.
As a,
like,
former, people pleaser, I appreciate that.
I'm a people pleaser, too.
I have learned to not be so much of one.
I know, but
as I get older.
When you think about it, we're people pleasers, but we really do it for ourselves. We need that reinforcement,
right? Well, and there's even something to be said for, you know, people get addicted to, you know, to that energy and to that, you know, to that attention, especially.
What makes you feel good when you do something good for someone
especially
else?
Especially performer.
And see their reaction.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm on stage all the time. I want the gratification.
I did stand up too.
The verification from strangers.
I did stand up too. And there's nothing in the world like being able to elicit an audible reaction out of an audience, like, yes, I win.
Yeah, because with acting, you can do a great job and you don't see the reaction of people until the film is done.
Right, right. But then if you get famous,
it's instant with comedy.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's why so many people come to LA and try to be famous, because they look for that. They look for that adoration, for that adulation, for that admiration from people. Mm-hmm. And famous people get it. You know, so I think that's why so many people, because sometimes I ask myself, why would people put themselves through so much for such a slim chance at fame? But people do it anyway, you know. They'll like come here, they leave everything behind.
Right.
They live poor.
Well, you, here, know, you know, I do a lot of interviews for, you know, like they're not huge celebrities, but they're sort of like B-listers, you know, right. on my other show, Dramatic Impact. And one of the things that I found is that every single one of them have said that they have that their theater background has really made them work. It's kind of given the
advantage. Oh, yeah. And I would totally agree with that.
Yeah.
And
when you have that experience with the audience and you can feed off that energy. And also, you know, that theater background is really kind of how you wet your chops. And anyone who comes here that never had that theater background, they really feel, I think, that they struggle more than anyone.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, for me, I just know that I'm super passionate about the stories that I have to tell.
Right.
And I want to tell stories and inspire people.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you're in the right business,
yeah,
you know.
Are.
So, Allie, I wanted to ask you, so when you were a cheerleader in school, did that leave an impact on your life? What was it like? Did you get the attention you wanted doing that?
You know, I did. I mean, being a cheerleader, it was like a dream come true. It was like winning, really? You know, Miss America. Like, I was like, I dreamed of being a cheerleader. And, you know, and I loved it. And I was like the ideal cheerleader. But, you know, and I loved it. I went to camp and everything. And and then my senior year, I didn't make it, which is weird because I was co-captain my junior year. And then I just didn't even make the team. Like,
really?
The tryouts.
Tragic.
No. So I had a really, you know, tough, like, and I have a lot of those stories, but, you know, cheerleading has always sort of, the theme just keeps presenting itself in my life.
Right.
In fact, my youngest son is, he's 8, but he's a competitive cheerleader. He's the only boy on
the
cheer line. Yeah.
I was a cheerleader also in high school. I was the captain.
Yeah.
Really?
I was.
It's gotten serious.
But you know what?
Yeah.
I don't really think that I was that great of a cheerleader. I just think that I like to boss people around so much. And everyone knew that. So they were like, okay, she's going to get it anyway. We'll just vote for her.
So is that how cheerleaders are chosen? They get voted?
We had we didn't have votes.
No,
at all,
we auditioned or
auditioned
whatever.
Right. Try
we had
out.
To do a certain amount of flips.
Yeah,
there
yeah.
were like coaches that would.
Oh, yeah. I remember I had this one coach who made me do a backflip. That's, you know, a backflip with no hands.
Right.
She made me do it like 24 times in a row in a circle of all the cheerleaders.
Oh my God.
And I was like, I hate this. I'm never doing this again. I couldn't wait to quit. Get on the soccer field.
Wow. That's interesting. But you loved it? You enjoyed it?
I mean, I did. I've had, you know, I did. I actually, in high school, I mean, I did cheerleading. There's actually a great story in here where I talk about my high school career and how I always felt like no one really claimed me. Like I wasn't part of a group. I felt like a big loner, loser, whatever.
I did not get that vibe from you.
But I know. Well, this is interesting because, you would be absolutely right because I went back to my, and then I was trying to join like all of these different groups, like trying them on for size. So I was a cheerleader and I was in all the plays and student council and I was in choir and speech and debate. Like I was just, I did everything.
Right.
And I would even like go and like have lunch with like this group, you know, and then like feel like, oh, they like me, but they're not like welcoming me. So like
right.
I would go and have, you know. So the funny story is that 20 years later, I, you know, I went back to my high school reunion. Everybody was like, my God, you're the most popular person.
That's so funny.
And I went, what, are you kidding me? I was so alone. I felt I was like drowning in my loneliness, you know.
Right.
Oh my gosh.
And so it shifted my perspective because they saw me as just friends with everybody. And it was almost like I time traveled back to that time of my loneliness, gave myself some information, like everyone here thinks you're popular, which I wouldn't find out until 20 years later. And it instantaneously like boosted me up in my confidence. And like, so it just kind of got me thinking about how we can literally go back and reshape a bad experience, like within seconds, just with new information. Kind of fascinating.
That is very fascinating. That's an interesting viewpoint.
You know, and I think it also shows that people really should take responsibility with the people they're with and give them good feedback, you know, because people need that, you know. Unfortunately, a lot of people give you bad feedback. Like,
I know, and you
you're
shouldn't
an asshole,
always,
you're this, you're that,
you know. You should not always listen to the bad feedback because 9 out of 10 times they don't know what they are talking about.
Exactly, or they don't know you, you know.
And you could be listening to too many cooks in the kitchen. I know I get feedback on audition sometimes, and it's coming from 10 different ways. I'm hearing one thing from one person, another thing from the other person, and they're both contradictory.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Well, I think that, you know, sometimes it can be constructive criticism, but you kind of have to, like, you know, like, look deep inside and ask your...
Oh,
like,
definitely.
Like, ask yourself, like, is this person, did they have an agenda by putting
right,
me down?
Exactly.
Or are they really trying to help me? Like,
oh,
if
yeah.
it's like a casting director, you know, and they're being critical of you, well, they're not going to spend the time being critical of you unless
no,
they,
I totally
they believe
agree with that.
That you can take that constructive criticism. But if it's somebody that's like,
no, I just meant
super
like
jealous,
friends,
yeah.
That some see people, self-taped
right.
auditions.
Totally.
Yeah, that's true. We're talking to Ali Lapreet. Her book is You Got This. Where can people get the book, Ali?
You know, it's on Amazon. It's on Barnes & Noble. Like, and you know, probably the best way is to just go to the website, and it gives you like an array of ways to get it. It's
right.
YouGotThisBookSeries.com, and
okay.
it lists all the different ways. And I'm actually, yeah, yeah.
Very cool. Now, yeah. the book launch is October 1st, right?
Well, it's already out.
Oh,
but
it is
my
now.
Party, and I hope you
oh,
both,
you
you're both invited.
Oh, my gosh.
Of course.
It's
you,
a fancy.
You say a party, I'm there.
Where is
fancy.
Your party?
It's I'm, Beverly Hills, red oh, carpet.
Oh, my
yeah.
God. A red carpet, I'll be there,
it's
honey.
Sunday. It's Sunday at 5, and it is invite only, and you are both invited.
Oh,
and
my
yeah,
gosh.
Like, come in, wear something fancy.
Fancy.
Get
oh,
pictures
my gosh.
Taken. I'm super
Can
excited.
Can I wear a red dress?
That'll
yeah.
be nice.
You're just not allowed to look better than me, because I'm like...
Oh, my gosh. This is your night, girl.
It's my night.
This
is like
night.
Bigger than my 40th birthday. Like, this is like...
Nice, right?
I love... Yeah. This is awesome.
Yeah, very cool.
I'm excited.
So, now... So, well, we'll get to how you wrote the book and stuff, but I wanted to move a little bit to college. Did you go on to college?
Yeah, I did. I went to the Midwest. I went to University of Kansas. I'm a Jayhawk.
Uh-huh.
And honestly, I mean, college was also like some rough experiences for me. I joined a sorority because I thought I wanted to. I hated it.
Really?
Well, that's not true. I loved it. Like, I was the typical, like, you know, Rokai, like, rush counselor. I was
I feel
on
like
the,
you've described my life. I was also
and
a
then
sorority.
I got, and then I got...
This is all too similar.
And then I got kicked out. Of my
oh,
sorority.
You did?
Like really.
Tell us more. What happened?
Yeah,
I actually wrote, and you won't believe this, but I wrote a one-woman show all about my experience, and they found me, so I won't even tell you what sorority, because they found me and shut me down, and they, like, threatened me. Like, I learned so much about Panhellenic.
Sorority girls are no joke.
But it was, like, the National Panhellenic Association came
yeah.
and found me and, like, threatened. Like, it's...
Did they show up at your house?
It's a cult.
I'm imagining...
Really?
Oh,
they
yeah.
called me. They did.
Sororities are
yeah.
worse than Scientology.
Yeah, right.
It really was bad. And I saw the other side of it. And before I saw the other side, I was totally like leadership council. Like, I love my sorority. And yeah. so I had a really bad experience, but I saw the full picture that most people don't see.
Right.
And when I look back, you know, I was a musical theater major, but I wasn't sure that I was ready to commit to being a musical theater major.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And had my crap together more at 18 years old, I totally would have gone to New York. And
yeah.
so there's always... I don't have many regrets, but that's like the one.
That's
really?
The one.
Yeah.
Very
yeah.
interesting.
That
but
is interesting.
So how did you choose Kansas for university?
Because it looked like the typical, like... It's beautiful. It looks
yeah.
like the, you know, rolling hills, and it's green. It doesn't look like Kansas. It looks like little Harvard. And
interesting.
It is. It's not the rest of the state. It's like right on the edge near Missouri, and it's gorgeous, and it's,
yeah.
you know, it's like the typical, like what you see in movies. Like
yeah.
it's what I'm like, that looks like college. That's where I want to go. <It's> so dumb.
Oh, my gosh.
And what did you focus on? What did you want to major in?
Well, I majored in musical theater.
Really?
Yeah. I was, you know.
So you had musical background?
I sing, yeah.
Oh,
or I
nice.
Did. I mean, I haven't sang in years. Although,
I know,
although
I'm the same way.
My husband and I, because he's musical theater, he went to Penn State. And a couple of years ago, he came home and said, you know, they're doing Jesus Christ Superstar, which is like in our top five, like favorite shows.
Oh,
it's
wow.
like they're doing Jesus Christ Superstar, like at the Little Rep Theater, like in Valencia.
Uh-huh.
And you told me I could audition for a play as soon as our oldest like went to kindergarten, because you'd have more time. And I said, well, I'm auditioning too. And he said, well, you can't. Someone has to stay home with the kids.
Is
and
he
I
an
said,
actor?
Oh, yeah. He's a groundling. He's
oh, he's a groundling.
Yeah.
Oh, I did UCB.
And musical theater, singer, like
yep.
everything. So he's like, well, one of us has to stay home with the kids. And I said, well, let's just see who makes it.
Right.
So we both audition.
I love this healthy competition within the marriage.
And this is like 10 years. Like, we haven't done any acting in 10 years, but we were both missing it, like aching for it. Mm-hmm. And so we both make it. He actually gets the part of Judas. Mm-hmm. And so we were like, well, what are we going to do? We can't afford like sitters for every single night of rehearsal. Mm-hmm. So we were like, we're not going to ask for permission. We're just going to beg for forgiveness. We brought our kids.
Oh my God.
The cool thing was that they were like mesmerized. Like, they've never seen anything so cool.
That's
like,
really cool as a child to get that experience.
They got to watch from the beginning, like to see all of the elements, like, but get fed in. Like, they were there for the first reading and the lighting and the sound and the costumes. Like, it was, and now they're both hooked on theater, which of course
is
like,
you opened up a can of worms.
Totally. Yeah.
A good one, though.
It shows you how you pass it on in the genes. You know, it's not just nurture.
Well, they never had a chance. I mean, it's all we play in our home.
Exactly.
Is, like, music.
You guys, like,
but
break out to the Rent soundtrack, start singing Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah, but I'm a little, like, I like Rent, but there's better ones.
Yeah.
I'm a snob.
Oh, like, what's your fave?
Well, come on, the biggest one right now, Hamilton.
Oh, yeah.
Rap like a privileged white girl.
Oh, yeah. I would agree. I think that sometimes I sing and rap in the car. I think it's a lot better than it actually is. Yeah. Hearing that description, that's exactly what I sound like. Yeah.
I think I'm so cool. And if anyone actually videoed me, I'd be appalled, I'm sure.
That's exactly it. You know, if you hear yourself on the microphone or in a recording later, you go, wow, I thought I was better than that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but it's different. But no, I used to sing for many years. I played the guitar and everything. But then you get older, you don't sing as much, you know. But I love to do that because singing gives you like sort of a rush, right? When you sing.
What are your thoughts on karaoke?
Yeah,
we do karaoke. My husband, like, we're aching. We'll go to karaoke for a night. But you know, another thing is, like, you've got to find those things that fill you up. You know, like, what's your happy tool bag?
Right.
You know, and singing is one of them. Like, right. And dancing, like, just, you know, like going nuts or another thing I do is if I can get to the beach is I build sandcastles. It really is. Or
how
art
cool.
Or like you find your thing. Like, you know, my thing is not going to be everybody else's thing, but like singing for anyone who sings or plays an instrument like that, that should reset you and like get you centered and grounded.
I
and
know.
Like,
I need to reconnect to my guitar actually. But listening to music and stuff. And I do think that it's passed on by genes as well. You know, those things about theater and music and stuff like that. I mean,
definitely.
It's who we are. You know, I mean, if we do it all your life, it probably like changes your makeup anyway. You know what I'm saying?
Bet,
and then you pass it on in genes to the next generation. And that's very cool that you're able to see your kids enjoy the same things that you did.
Yeah, it really is.
Still
that must
and
be
it,
awesome.
They might not have liked it. I mean, they might have been like, I hate this. My son right now is in the Addams Family, and which is, he's my older one. He's 11, and he's the only kid. He's playing Pugsley.
That's so cool.
He's the only kid in it. And so, you know, he like is like watching all the adults and like learning how to read lines. And I'm so proud, you know.
Very nice. So he's 11. How old is the other one?
Eight.
Eight.
They're exactly 3 years apart. I had the same due date. 3 years apart.
Really?
Yeah, two boys.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm.
Did you just say they have the same birthday?
No, they don't.
Oh.
But I did have the same due date. Like, I got pregnant on the same day, 3 years apart.
That's hilarious. My brother was born on my mom's birthday.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Funny how that happened.
Yeah, I know. But so apparently maybe you're good with math and you didn't even realize it. So you timed it just right.
I didn't mean to.
I swear.
I just want to point out on your book, it has a former cheerleader's guide to owning your truth, creating a fulfilling life, and reaching your highest potential as a modern mom. And a former cheerleader, former is crossed out and it says, lifelong.
Yeah, baby.
You cheer people all the time. Is that what you do?
I'm fascinated with people, and I'm fascinated with their human potential, because most people don't even know what they're capable of until somebody is giving them sort of a, you know, sort of the vision of how, if I can give someone the vision of how I see them, and I love, right. I really do, yeah. I like love people. And so I'm always sort of fighting for the underdog and looking for people who just have never been lifted up or have don't even, and I think it's fascinating just to see how they can completely break out of their shell once someone has told them, I believe in you. And I got really serious in here for a minute, right? I know.
That's
but,
okay.
But yeah, so.
That's a positive message.
I really love being there for people. And honestly, it's kind of selfish for me to do that too. It boosts me up. My vibe gets so happy.
I think that's perfectly. I think that's okay because you're doing something good to help others, yeah. And it should make you feel
and sometimes
good,
you know? Have to like recognize like when it's like bogging you down, when it's like, no, I've got to think about something else right now, and I'm not responsible for you. But you know, yeah. Like for example, I just raised a whole bunch of money for this woman who was a homeless woman who I love. Like she's special
part
to me.
Of your family.
She's a black transgender homeless woman who lives on the beach near my parents, and I always go visit her and I bring her things, and you know, when she's in trouble she calls me, and you know, and I finally got her off the streets and got her a home, and
that's amazing.
Raised some money
for
her
you.
And it was, but believe me, there was times where I was like, oh my god, Taja, I cannot come rescue you.
Well,
right,
yeah,
now
I have to ask, right. You, does that ever get too much of a heavy weight on your shoulders, yeah. To where you feel like you just want to fix everyone, and yeah. There's, it's just too much on
you
your plate.
Have
you
have to
can't.
Be able to recognize when it's too much. Like there's a fine line between I feel really good about what I'm doing,
that?
And you have conversations with yourself a lot. You go, am I still finding the joy in this? Like, I'm constantly checking in with myself. Is this still fun? Do I still feel good about this? Or is it weighing on me? And if it's weighing on me, I'm taking, you know, I'm not going to feel guilty. Don't feel guilty, Allie. Don't feel shame.
Right.
Like, take a moment. You've done enough.
Right.
You know, and maybe you can revisit it in a couple of weeks. But you have to keep having those conversations, because ultimately, if you're happy, like, if you're in a good space, you can accomplish so much. It's amazing. You can problem solve like nobody's business. Like, it's just like you're in this zone. But if you're constantly anxious and feeling the weight of the world and stressed
out, I totally
agree. You can't even see like solutions. You
judgment
feel
is clouded.
Yes, everything.
You feel
so
good
bad.
About yourself. People are gonna see
which
that.
Which is why
it's
taking care
your
of your own like vibe is like should be your top priority,
right.
Like above anything.
Well,
else.
It sounds like you've done a really good job of that because you have very good vibe.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I got here for, you know, it was trial and error. Believe me, I've had some.
Oh, I'm sure.
But I mean, for that woman, you're an angel. You know what I'm saying,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. And
you
good.
Showed up out of nowhere, and you're helping her out, and you're setting her up and stuff. That's cool, you know.
That
and
is
it
really
feels
fun.
Good. Like, it fills me up. I feel really good about like making. And not because I can brag about like, hey, I helped a homeless, you know, but when I'm with her and I see how she's changed, I see how she's like, she's believing in herself. She's seeing that there's a whole world that she's never been a part of. You know, like, you know, there's actually nice people that just get, people have been treating her like crap her
that's
whole
true.
Life. She's weird.
True.
You know,
you're
she's
on the street
she's,
and you're weird.
She's a black transgender woman. I mean, people think she's crazy, and she's just the sweetest. And I saw that in her.
Wow.
You know, so
So how did you start talking to her? I mean, how did you meet her?
She was charging her cell phone at a coffee shop, and I was in, had a fight with my husband, and I was there like, and there was a couch like in this coffee shop, and you know, and she walked in, and I said, "You can sit here." And I remember seeing her light up because I wasn't afraid of her, and I saw that just this. I don't know, maybe I can read people really well, but I saw that it just made her day that somebody. Somebody wasn't afraid of her, and I was just asking her about her life and everything, and then I lost touch. Nice meeting you, but then like a year later, both of my kids were at camp, and my youngest said, "That woman's homeless." And I looked over and went, "That's the woman I met like a year ago."
Gosh,
and I went over to
crazy.
Her and I said, "Are you okay? Do you need any help?" And she wasn't doing okay. And so I got her situated and I started helping her from there.
Yeah.
And I, you know.
And you mean by not doing okay, just emotionally broken?
She was hungry. She was lost. I think she was off medication because she was, you know.
She had medication for transgender, the transformation.
Hormones. Like, I mean, I don't know about you, but when my hormones are off,
I'm just a raging bitch. Let's call a spade.
Right. I mean, and I kept thinking, oh my gosh, she'd probably run out of hormones, and it's probably weighing, you know, it's probably making her crazy. So, you know, I got her some food and I got her situated. We gave her a tent. Like, she was still homeless, but then, you know, there's a whole other thing that I did, and I really was helping her, and I got her a bank account. I taught her how to use email and how to go to the library and all that stuff.
Yeah,
good for you.
Very cool.
That's actually putting in the work to help someone, you know.
Yeah.
Getting them a bank account.
Yeah, that's
trying
true.
To get altruism, make them work, you know? And I think that's really amazing.
Yeah, because I didn't want to do it. Like, I wanted to give her enough to start building her own life without me. Like, that's really, like, you don't want to do things for people. You want to just give them
You
the
want to give them the opportunity to be able to provide for themselves. To teach them how to do that, that takes time, and that's amazing.
Yeah.
Right. We're talking to Allie Lupreet, a woman of many talents. Now, I see something about our milk money. Tell us a little bit about that.
Ooh.
So, you know, when I first started, and I tell the story all the time, but when I first, my husband and I, you know, we had like a really fun marriage, and then we wanted to have kids because it was like, yeah, we're telling the same stories over and
as
over
you
again.
Do.
Like, it's like time to like bring someone else into our club. And so we were trying to get pregnant. And, you know, by this point, we both sort of like were moving away from acting, like we were doing it more for, you know, just to like, you know, for the joy of it. But we were, you know, he started writing and producing for television. I was also in television, so we were climbing corporate ladders, and we thought that, you know, when we had a baby, it would just like fit into our lives like a puppy, like, and it did. Like, when you have a baby, everything changes because you don't know the personality of that kid until it comes out. Like, really, it changes everything.
I think Kylie Jenner shares that common misconception.
It's crazy. And, you know, both my kids were very, very different as babies. My first one, like, gave me a run for my money. He, like, was shot out of a can, and the minute he came out, none of the books, could help me. I had postpartum. Suddenly, I was like, I can't work. I got to be home. I have to be home. And my husband was like, well, you cannot lose your career. Like, we need that
you
money.
You didn't think about that
We
beforehand.
Need that income. And I said, I don't care. I have to be home with him. This isn't worth it. We'll live in a cardboard box for all I care.
There's no manual to life.
Like, I've got to be home with my child. I'm sorry. You know, like, and of course, hormones are crazy. But I, you know, so I had to figure out a way to come home. And I was frantic. And I couldn't figure it out. I knew I needed to bring in an income. But I also knew I needed to be at home with my son. And as life would have it, universe responds, I got laid off. And so I had enough money to sort of make it work. We were poor, but like I like balanced everything, and I started figuring out. I reached out. This is back before social media.
Right.
So it was email. You know, those like forward, 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 like everybody would forward all those email chains.
Right.
Well, I found like 3,000 parents just through email. Like, I want to start something to help you guys, because I think all of us are probably in this space of not being prepared. And we don't have jobs. We have to be moms. It's, you know, we live in a double income society.
Right.
What are we supposed to do? And so our milk money was the first all parent business owned directory, so that we would sort of just make the commitment to buy as much as we can from each other.
Oh, wow.
And so we all were booming, like all of our businesses started doing really, really well. And from there, I became, you know, like the business coach and you know, my radio show, This Little Parent, all that. So
that's
our milk
amazing.
Money is the really the beginning of it all.
That sounds like there's an organization called Fashion Mamas in LA, and they put on this thing called the Mama Market, and it's kind of like a marketplace, kind of like a, you know, you see the booths set up at the farmer's market, but it's called the Mama's Market, and it's all mama-owned businesses. And
that
I think
is a
that's
very
really,
lucrative industry.
It's very crazy. Cool. Because they're all working moms, and they produce products, and you can go and...
And the great thing about that is also that the idea behind our milk money was that we have to create our own rules now. Like, we, you know, we're not working for an employer where we have to, you know, give them our all of our attention. Now we can create our own schedule.
Right.
And it sounds easier because all of a sudden, you know, like, you have to be flexible. Like, your kid is the boss of you now. Like, you know.
Exactly.
So one of the things that I figured out was that if moms and dads, like, gave each other permission to just work with each other, like, we're not trying to exclude anyone who's a non-parent, but you guys are in the fast lane, we're in the slow lane.
Yeah,
like, you'll be frustrated doing business with us, but if we work together, you know, so I for the most part would only take clients for a really long time that were just parents, because they got it, and it was okay if my kid was screaming in the background. They weren't annoyed, and I didn't feel the need to apologize all the time.
Yeah.
And that gave other people permission to start really owning.
Right.
You know, and I felt like the dollar that we earned as moms was like a little bit more valuable than the dollar that somebody else earned, because
yeah.
we could stretch that dollar.
But you created a community, yeah. you know, and that's a cool thing, you know. So people can go to ourmilkmoney.com, easy to remember, and I see it looks like it's grown. I mean, when did you start this?
Oh, gosh, like 11 years ago.
Oh, wow.
And it probably needs some love because I've moved on. But it runs itself right now, but
right.
it probably needs some attention.
But you do have a lot of markets in which you're in, and people can go and check it out. Mm-hmm. I think it's definitely worth it, you know. I mean, it sounds like pretty cool. There's a lot of cities that you guys can go to. And self-employed parents, you know what I mean? And that's the thing. You're right when you said life changes forever. The moment that baby comes out,
you cannot get a divorce from your kids.
Oh, no.
You're in.
You don't.
It's terrifying.
Yeah. I mean, now you have to answer to another person, you know?
Right.
And,
it really
who's
does.
The boss,
it
like
is,
you said.
It is the most. You think you want freedom, and yet that's the one thing that you don't have anymore as a mom. And
wow.
so then, you know. So
how do you find the freedom?
Well, that's what my radio show came in. This Little Parent Stayed Home. And it started off as like, how do you balance your business and your career and family? But then it just became about like, you know, moms, I'm tired of the world like not bending over backwards for the moms of the world. We're the ones raising the future.
Right.
It's the most thankless job in the world. And so, you know, it became about like, moms, it's time for us to start giving back to ourselves, because we're not going to be any good for our kids or our families unless we're happy.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
people,
that's
you got to take care of your mind.
So, that's your question was like, how do you do that? Every week we talked about different ways to do that, different struggles, different callers would come in and be like, I'm overwhelmed, and I would work with them on
it
the
It helps,
air,
you know, yeah. it helps to have a support group like that where you can, you know, an open format, we can
well,
just talk about
Well, and let me tell you that up until recently, you know, moms were, it's like mom-on-mom crime, like they're not good to one another, they judge one another, like my kid behaves better. Like
I have not experienced that, as I do not have children, but I imagine.
Moms are so hard on one another, and one of the things I always talk about is how we need to bring back the village, like stop judging one another, stop shaming one another, and start saying things like, give me the baby, go take your older one to get the, you know, like give you know, it used to be like a village that would all support one another, and
that's
I don't know what
true.
Happened to it, so
right.
I'm trying to bring it back, you know.
Well, I think women in the workforce are doing a good job of supporting each other now. So now we just need to bring that to moms.
Yeah. Well, and we have made progress, totally.
Yeah.
And women in general are making progress, especially
Definitely.
Recently.
Yeah.
Yeah, very cool. The book is called You Got This, Ali Lopreet. Spell it for people so they can go to your website.
It's Lopreete, Ali Lopreet.
There you go.
So you can go to AliLopreet.com. It's like the hub. I see everything.
Is that like a French name or?
It's my husband's last name. It's Italian.
Italian.
Lopreete. Which
so
is so
we
funny
say
because it means
English.
The priest.
Okay.
But I'm Jewish.
Yeah.
So it was like, so our kids are cashews, half Catholic.
Ali the priest.
Well, aren't they Jewish if the mom's Jewish?
Yeah, but we call, it's funner to call them, it's more fun to call them cashews.
Of course it is.
But it was just funny that now it's like, Lopreete, you know, but that's the Italian. So you weren't off when you pronounced it the other way, but
right,
the American
right.
version is Lopreete.
Are you a good Italian cook?
No. I'm not Italian. I'm a Jewish cook. You know what we make? Reservations.
There you go.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Well, they like seafood, you know? They see food, they eat.
So true.
Yeah. So the website is AliLopreet.com. You guys can find out more about her. Where can people find you? The website, obviously.
That's probably
Where's your radio show? I'm dying to listen now.
Well, I'm on iHeartRadio. I've been on iHeart. I used to be over at Premier Networks just down the street for many years.
Nice.
And now I have another show, This Little Parent, like kind of ran its course. I've been sort of missing it a little, but I was recruited about a year ago to do Dramatic Impact, which is actually I left the mom world for a little bit, and I'm now lifting up artists, actors, casting directors come in.
Amazing.
So it's a lot of applying what I was helping moms do to actors, because actors are, I love actors, but actors need help. Like actors, you get rejected like
every day.
And so I really thought that some of these principles would help.
I need you in my life.
Well, and it's a great show. It's, you know, it's out of iActing Studios, and you know, every Wednesday there's a live TV, like it's a TV, but it's also on iHeartRadio, and I'm actually next week going to start launching Dramatic Impact for Moms, because I miss them, you know, and they miss me, and so I'm still going to be helping out the artists in my life, but you know,
awesome,
back to the mom.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, Allie, you're amazing. Yeah, thank you so much for joining us. You've got an open invitation. Come back anytime.
Oh, don't say that.
Okay,
be
because
here
we have
day.
A lot. No, we haven't even covered anything yet. I feel like the hour just flew.
I feel like we could just keep on talking.
Yeah. And we didn't even give her a chance to talk about social media and all that.
Let me just tell you this, that the reason I was laughing is because I was a social media coach for so long. And every client that ever comes to me has a problem with Twitter. And they explain it exactly the way you do. And I see it a different way. But also, I've had work done. Like, that's the other thing. And I totally own it and tell everyone.
You should.
I just had a breast reduction.
Amazing.
Than a year ago,
I can't wait to get a facelift when I'm 45.
Oh, I haven't had a facelift.
I'll be getting one when I turn 45.
Oh, well. Allie, thank you so much again for joining us. Much continued success. And let's announce the... so this is by invitation only?
Well, anybody can get an invitation. We just have to have your name on the list. But if you would like one, we have about 18, you know, places left. So just go to yougotthisbookseries.com, and there's actually a link there to just order complimentary tickets. Doesn't cost anything.
Cool.
If you want a VIP package, which like includes a book and like a couple of drinks, that's a little more, but you can just come and enjoy the grub and get your picture taken on the red carpet.
That's awesome. And that's October 1st. That's Sunday, right?
It's Sunday at 5, from 5 to 8.
There you go.
Amazing.
Well, thanks again. All the best to you, Allie, and we wish you a lot of success with the book.
Yes.
You brought us a copy, so we'll share one. And so it's not just for parents, though, right? I mean, anybody could find it.
It was directed towards parents, but I've had a lot of people say they've read it, and it's not. I use my experience as a mom to, you know, so I think it's very relatable.
That's
I think anyone can probably.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, I'd like to see what you wrote. I mean, you know, you got your story there and everything else, so sounds good to me. All right, everybody. Ren, thank you so much for joining
us. Thanks for having me, Sam.
The past couple
of
days, you've been amazing, and you're welcome back to the show as well anytime.
Thank you.
And thank you all for listening. We say hi to Rachel.
Hi, Rachel.
Way out there in the cold, maybe. And stay tuned tomorrow. I'm having Kay Brandt come in, who sat in here before, and we're going to actually interview Jackie Martling from the Howard Stern Show.
Oh.
So that's going to be cool. Unfortunately, he's not in the studio because he's back east, but it's going to be on the phone, but I'm looking forward to it because I'm a big Howard Stern fan, and he was on the show for many years, you know, so we're excited. He's got a book coming out, too.
Yeah.
So, Ren, maybe it's time for us to put together a book each as well.
Let me get on that and add that to my other.
I will tell you, it is an I did not expect to get this much attention from this book.
And it's like a baby, right? You work hard at it for a long time.
This has given me
a lot
more.
How long did it take you to write it?
Like 2 years.
Okay.
And I was like dreading the whole thing. But once it came out, it was like nobody's. I couldn't believe that they cared more about this than like the TV shows and all the things.
Well, guys, obviously we don't want to go, but we have to cut you off right here and then. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Rachel, exclusively on LA Talk Radio.